Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. Investment professionals reveal how they find their next great idea, what gives them their investment edge, and a few personal stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
We've been joined in the studio by Brian Lloyd, our film critic, to tell us about standing ovations, which just suddenly seemed to have been this new thing that have arrived. And now they're like performative and they're going on for 17 minutes.
Yeah. So
what's going on?
So the story is Pedro Almodovar, very famous Spanish director. He did, you know, All About My Mother, Volver, The Skin I Live In. His very first English language film at the age of 74, no less. It's called The Room Next Door. It stars Tilda Swinton and Julianne Moore. It premiered in the Venice Film Festival and it got a 17-minute standing ovation, which is making all kinds of noise. It's not the longest ever standing ovation at a film festival. That goes to Guillermo del Toro's Pan's Labyrinth. That got 22 minutes of a standing ovation. It has become this barometer of success for films at film festivals. I mean, for people that don't know, what essentially happens is that you'll have a production company, they'll go off and, you know, finance the production of a film. You'll bring your director, bring in your stars, you all go make the film. Then it goes out to film festivals. It goes to, you know, Sundance, or it goes to the Venice Film Festival, or it goes to wherever. It's premiered there and then right afterwards, your Amazon, your Netflix, your film studios essentially come in and they hammer out a deal to buy that film and then release it for you. And based on the success of the premiere and how long these standing ovations are, that drives the prices up. So it's not necessarily that these standing ovations are any kind of barometer of success.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, you know, you read articles from the likes of Variety or Screen Daily, and a lot of the people who are involved in the sales agencies and who are making these deals, they know as well that this is a load of BS. But people are talking about it. It's kind of, you know, another kind of way of generating, you know, talk and discourse about a film and what have you. So, yeah.
It sounds many things going through my mind listening to that.
Yeah. Oh, no, it is. It's no, you can't. There's no way that anyone, I mean, I've been at plenty of premieres and there is generally a 1 or 2 minute polite little clap and then everyone gets up and leave. And I will say the most effective ending of a film I've ever seen at a premiere was for Spotlight. And I will never forget it. It was unlike anything I've ever seen before. We were at the Irish premiere of it. It was in the Lighthouse in Screen 3, I think it was. And at the end of it, if you've ever seen Spotlight, it's all about, sexual abuse in the Catholic Church and how it was covered up in Boston. Yeah. And at the end of the film, at the title credits, the end credits, I should say, it then goes on to say, oh, there were more... investigations found more cover-ups by the Catholic Church in different areas. And then for 3 minutes, it lists loads of cities where the Catholic Church had engaged in cover-ups of sexual abuse. And I would say for about 5 minutes, people just sat and watched this come up on screen. And there was a silence like I've never heard before, but like it was a stony, brittle silence. Yeah. People were just rooted in their seat by the end of it. That to me is much more...
The sheer... length, the weight, the number of names, the weight of it
in the room was unlike anything I've ever felt in a screen before. That to me is much more indicative of the impact of a film as opposed to everyone just sitting up and cheering.
So you know the way increasingly
minutes.
Everything gets reduced to very simple metrics, your Rotten Tomato score.
Yeah.
This is another kind of thing.
It is. And like, to be honest, like Rotten Tomatoes in and of itself is a very much a flawed metric, because what people maybe don't realise is the fact that when you, like, for example, when I post a review on Rotten Tomatoes and just hypothetically, I give the film 3 stars.
Yeah.
And 100 other critics give that film 3 stars and no one gives it a negative review. Unlikely, but let's just imagine that happens. That film is then counted as 100% fresh. Even though 100 critics have said,
3 out of 5.
It's fine. It's okay. Yeah. But according to Rotten Tomatoes, that's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's certified fresh.
Yeah.
And I think what Rotten Tomatoes is starting to do as well is, which is a little bit underhanded, I think, is they're doing this thing called verified hot.
Yeah.
And what that is that they are, because in America you can book cinema tickets through Rotten Tomatoes, they have this system called Fandango. And what they're doing is that people will go to see the film, and then they're sent a little question by Rotten Tomatoes saying, what did you think of the film? Rate the film out of 5. And then if enough audience have given this film 5 stars, thumbs up, then it's rated at, 90-100% verified hot. And a great example of this is that there was a recent biopic of Ronald Reagan with Dennis Quaid. And I think the current score of that is like 20% on Rotten Tomatoes, but the audience rating is verified hot. And that's 95%.
It just makes it very hard to know what to trust.
Well, do you know what? Trust your own instinct. Go see a film yourself.
But this is when you're trying to pick which film to watch. This is where you use these metrics where you go, look, there's 95 on Tomatoes. It got a 17-minute long standing ovation.
I know, but it's, all at the end of the day, it's like people just trying to find new ways of selling a film to you because there are so many
options.
Just
when you're the buyer, when you're the person trying to decide, how are we going to spend these 2 precious hours that we have tonight?
Do your research. Look into it.
But do you
that's
think
what
Rotten Tomatoes is. So, but back to the standing ovation. Yeah. The next thing I think is very easily messed with. Slip a few of your mates in there.
100%. Yeah. And not only that as well, like that Pedro Almodovar, when he was doing that, by all accounts, he was hanging around doing like a victory lap and all the rest of it. Like, what does generally tend to happen at film festivals is that you're in a very, very warm room. Yeah. And what I mean by that is that everyone is there to see this film. They're all excited about it. It generally tends to be cast and crew in there as well. So obviously they're going to be banging their hands together until they're bleeding and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And, it's a film festival. That sort of way. It's not like your local View or Odeon or Omniplex or whatever. It's a lot more forgiving, I would say.
Yeah.
But that being said, it is absolutely no measure of how good or bad of a film is.
I'm just copying that now when you say that, because I remember one or two that I've been at.
Festivals.
And when it goes to a Q&A type thing, you start to realise that these people, they're in the film. They're family in the film. They're family working on the film.
It's really, a lot of these films are very close to the bone. And, especially for a lot of actors and stuff like that, they'll bring their parents, they'll bring their kids, they'll bring their wives and all the rest of it. And then they'll bring, there generally tend to be, those premieres at film festivals generally tend to be packed out with family and friends. And then it's family and friends of the producers, and then it's family and friends of the directors. So you're talking a good chunk of that screen is filled up with people there who love this film. And then I would say another quarter of it might be people like myself, critics and journalists and stuff like that. And then another quarter is probably sales agents and stuff like that. And then you might have the general public who are in there to see it as well. And considering how rare premiere tickets are at film festivals. Yeah. Generally, people who get there are the ones that are like queuing up at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning to get it. So they are going to be excited and as pumped to see this film as anyone who's in the cast or
they'd
in the
crew. They'd be queuing from 8 in the morning.
Oh yeah,
they?
I've seen that. Yeah, yeah, Cannes Film Festival. Yeah, I think the doors open or the cinema box office opens at about 6:30, and you'll definitely see people queuing up. I know Donald Clark was telling me once from the Irish Times when he was over there, there is literally queues down the street to get into certain premieres and stuff like that. And that's everyone has to get in there. That's including the journalists. So you're not going off boozing the night before. You're, getting in early.
So this is like a release then, really, because you've been in this queue since 6:30 in the morning.
You get to see it, and then you're 100%. It's a release.
Standing on that stage is this man whose work you've been a fan of all your life.
All your life. And you're spitting distance from him. Like in the case of Megalopolis and Francis Ford Coppola. I mean, it's Francis Ford Coppola. Yes. I mean, he is an icon of Western cinema. This is the man that did Apocalypse Now, The Godfather, The Conversation, you name it. He's standing right over there. Doesn't matter if the film is terrible, and by all accounts I hear Megalopolis is not great. But you're standing right there in front of him. If nothing else,
you'd have to take that moment.
Give him
The Godfather alone. You wouldn't. You wouldn't turn that up.
No, you wouldn't. Of course. And again, that's what I'm saying to you. These are very warm rooms.
Yeah.
So the standing ovation, be it 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever the case is. I really, no one in the industry, no one in the know gives this any kind of credence. But it does, I guess.
It sounds good though, doesn't it?
That's what I'm saying to you. And paper never refuses ink.
Yeah.
And this is just, you know, generating buzz, and it's just another way of trying to sell films to an increasingly, you know, bored and indolent audience that have all kinds of entertainment at their fingertips.
That's us. The first I heard of Kneecap was Standing Ovation at Sundance.
Yeah, yeah. And that won the Audience Award as well. That won the Rise Audience Award
as well.
So it
does get your attention.
Oh, it does. Yeah, 100%. Like, when you hear a positive buzz like about a film, that'll always make headlines.
No standing ovations at the Galway Film Flower. We don't stand for anybody, no matter
what.
No,
they don't. I mean, I would say it's a purely, like, you know, you'll see it at the Venice Film Festival, you'll see it at the Cannes Film Festival, you go to Toronto, you go to Tribeca, it's a lot more demure. You go to the Dublin Film Festival, you go to Galway Film Flower, you go to the Cork Film Festival. Again, there'll be a polite clap at the end, but that's generally it. Like, no standing ovations.
Just their hot Latin temperaments.
That's it. It's the weather, you know.
They just can't contain themselves.
It's the tuxedos. Yeah. I mean, they're all very bracing and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, you'll clap just to let
a bit
of air.
There is one here saying, so that explains the mystery of all the acclaim for Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of buzz around Banshees of Inisherin. There were a lot of standing ovations for that. I do know that it is a controversial film for certain people.
I get the impression that is little.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I really liked it. Really liked it.
Yeah, do you like McDonough's? Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, no, it's a film.
Yeah, there's loads of going on here.
Uh-huh,
yeah,
it's a film, and you know, it's got people in it, and
it's, all of those things are true.
Yes, and there's lines in it, and Brendan Gleeson is in it, and Colin Farrell, and they're all in it.
Yeah, Brian, thank you very much for that.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.